This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, only 1 week to go. This is it. Final week of the Baseball Reporters. Five programs left in the 2019 season. We'll take it through Friday night, and then that's it. That's it. No Baseball Reporters again until next season. Nonetheless, we do have a lot to talk about. 617-779-0985. I'll ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, if he could open up the phones as soon as he can. We'll take your calls on anything and everything Red Sox. And I've said this to you already, that as we have gone through these final weeks here, whatever strikes your fancy about the Red Sox will serve as a backdrop. So even if it's not necessarily something that is a central point of discussion on any particular night, if it's on your mind, we will try to address it here on the Baseball Reporters. Again, phone lines are open, 617-779-0985. I don't know about you, Murray, or you, Jimmy. I personally have been scratching days on the cell block wall as we've been getting to the end of this season. That's the kind of year it was. Five to go, Murray. Can you feel it?
Oh, I've literally been marking it on my calendar, Maz.
I'm not kidding.
Me either.
Can we do a Red Sox elimination party? Oh, wait, they're already eliminated.
Like, you know those scenes where someone's literally sitting in a cell block?
Yeah.
Scratching, you know, the tallies on the wall and then putting a line through when they get to five? That's what I've been doing. I've been pretty much doing that. I admit it. This season, the Red Sox did the unthinkable. They rendered nearly entire baseball season in Boston irrelevant. I didn't think it was possible, but the Red Sox pulled it off. I want to get to this story that Buster Olney of ESPN wrote over the weekend because I tend to look at the Red Sox, as you know, very critically, very pessimistically. I tend to blast them for everything they do, and I tell them that they're hurting their standing in the eyes of others. And most of the time you tell me that I'm full of it, and most of the time you're right. But I read to you tonight, and this apparently went up on the web yesterday, right, Jimmy?
I saw it last night.
Okay, this Buster Olney column, the headline of which is this: why nobody might want to be Boston's GM. Why nobody might want to be Boston's GM, by Buster Olney. And for those of you who don't know Buster, believe me when I tell you, he's one of the more respected baseball writers in the country. There are a handful of what I would call true national guys now that, you know, worked for the major outlets: Kenny Rosenthal, Buster, Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And there were a number of them, not just a few, but those guys have legitimate credibility throughout the game. They talk to a lot of different people. And I knew them when I covered baseball. Here's what Buster writes. Let me just ask you quickly, because I've made this argument, and Murray, I think you and Jimmy Stewart have both heard me. But if you were a candidate with any sort of track record of success in the big leagues, and by that I mean you had effectively run a major league organization, whether or not you had won a world title, okay? You had effectively run a major league organization. Would you work for the Red Sox right now?
I would need to have a lot of questions answered first.
Okay, Jimmy Stewart?
I would, because I'm a mark for the job.
Okay.
I look at this team and say, I can re-piece this together. I would want this job. I personally would want this job.
Okay, so look, and I think, Jimmy, there were a lot of people that are like you that feel
this is
that
a
way.
Marquee franchise job. You should want it, but there are reasons not to take it.
Absolutely. And so the reason I phrased it the way I did was because, again, if you had a track record of credibility or success in the major leagues, would you do it? So that's gray. I admit that's gray, and that's a little open-ended. But let me just read to you from Buster Olney's column. And he goes through the eras of both Ben Cherington and Dombrowski, each of which led to a world title. And as we know, each of which led to a firing. Buster writes, two World Series titles in 6 years and two executives with two very different personalities operating very differently, both dismissed. These decisions loosely frame the industry perception of the Red Sox as a chaotic company, a miserable place to work. Boston owner John Henry needs to understand this because it is why some of the people he probably loved to consider as possible replacements for Dombrowski privately dismissed the idea out of hand. They saw what happened to Cherington. They saw what happened to Dombrowski. And then this graph. Murray, this one caught your attention too. In fact, a wide-held view in other front offices is that the highly respected and well-liked Red Sox president Sam Kennedy stands as a thin buffer between the team devolving to the level of the Mets, the team generally regarded by rival executives as baseball's model for dysfunction. Quote, if Sam ever walked away, said one official, the whole thing would be a complete mess. Now, I hate to be a wise ass here, but that comment, if Sam ever walked away, said one official, the whole thing would be a complete mess. I love Sam. I think we all do. We all like Sam Kennedy. I want to know, who do you think said it? Theo or Jed Hoyer? Like, which one of the Cubs said that? Which one of the guys that worked with Sam in Boston and hates ownership here said it? Because that's what it was. There's an axe to grind in that comment. And I'm not telling you I disagree with it. But that comment, oh, that one reeks of Theo or Jed. It just reeks of Theo or Jed. If Sam ever walked away, the whole thing would be a complete mess. Now, and the reason I say that is because both of those guys worked with Sam. How the hell would Billy Beane know what Sam is? You follow me?
Yeah.
How would Brian Cashman?
That's someone that obviously had experience with Sam Kennedy. I see where you're coming from.
Okay, so I think it's someone that has an understanding of the inner workings. And I also know that, you know, there is some, obviously Theo wanted out of here at the end of 2011. So the fact that he wanted out of here should tell you plenty about how he felt about ownership. And maybe it wasn't just Larry. I think that that's what that comment tells you. So, but if you're someone like me, and you have hopes or designs of Theo Epstein coming back, that comment should alarm you. Because again, Theo is someone who has a track record of success and credibility in Major League Baseball. Jed Hoyer, to me, does not have Theo's track record. Theo is the guy. Jed works for Theo. That's the way I look at it. And, you know, so I'm less concerned about it if Jed said it than if Theo said it. But Theo still has a problem coming back here, and I think we've all said it's a long shot of him returning to the Red Sox for that reason, that he still had a sour taste in his mouth about ownership.
And this is why I say I would have questions I want answers to before I would consider taking this job if I was someone like Theo Epstein, who obviously was here. But, okay, so, I mean, what a comparison, too, to say that this team without Sam Kennedy would be the team that is looked at as the beacon of futility in Major League Baseball, the Mets, who still have Bobby Bonilla on their books. But be that as it may, if I was in his shoes, I'd say, okay, I want to know that I'm not going to get blown out after a couple of bad seasons as I help to rebuild this thing here. I can't go as quickly as the last two guys did. I want a stake in ownership. Can we have that? And how many nerds do I have to answer to? And do I have to deal with John Henry sticking his nose in decisions and bringing in players and certain things that I do?
What if you want the nerds?
Well, if he wants the nerds thing, if he wants more nerds, then okay, there's going to be more nerds. How inclusive does this have to be? Because I found that line from Alex Spears' column last week very telling, that it seems like ownership wants to maybe have a little bit more in hand here with the next guy, because obviously Dave Dombrowski, one of the sticking points with him being here, is that it was kind of closed doors. It was him and Frank Wren and La Russa, and that was it. Everyone else can F off. But that, to me, that's the way it should be. Baseball should be handled by the baseball guys. And ownership, like, get the hell out of here unless we have to try to sign a free agent, and then we're going to talk numbers. Otherwise, I don't want to hear from you.
So, Murray, the 10-year contract and the stake in ownership, I sort of threw that out there a while ago as, you know, some sort of benchmark, because I think that's what it's going to take to get a proven GM in here. And I think this story by Buster only proves it. The only way you can work for these guys now is, and you're accomplished. I'm not talking about Eddie Romero. Okay, if you're Eddie Romero, and I'm not saying, you know, Eddie Romero's accomplished in his own right, but he's never been a GM. The idea of running the Red Sox, ooh, that's a golden opportunity. You don't say no. So a guy like that will take the job. I happen to think, though, that the Red Sox are worthy of a premium general manager. And that type of guy is not going to come work here right now without some sort of assurances that you're talking about, Jim. And the Mets, see, you understand the comment. Comparing the Red Sox to the Mets, ooh, that's like comparing an NFL outfit to who, Murray?
Cleveland.
Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Well, or, you know, something like that, right? And I say Cleveland, but Cleveland in theory is on the, you know, upswing a little bit. But the Lions, the absolute crap of the league. That's what it's like. Comparing to the Mets are these most dysfunctional front office in baseball. People laugh at the Mets, which is further reason why I think for someone to compare the Red Sox to the Mets without Sam, it was personal. That's why I think it's coming from Theo or Jed or one of their someone in their camp. Okay, that's why I think that comment was pointed. Nonetheless, there's some truth to it. Alan in Florida, how do you feel about the Red Sox GM search? How do you feel about the state of the organization?
Well, first of all, Maz, I just want to tell you something. I looked around and I couldn't find a team in all of baseball that underachieved like the Red Sox. But guess what? I found one. Do you have any idea who it might be? The Chicago
Cubs.
They're in such turmoil. It's such a disgrace right now. And you're ranting and raving about Theo. And listen, I liked him too. But what's going on there, Madden's going to get fired. I mean, who knows with Theo? This team just lost four straight games to the Cardinals. Before that, they lost two straight to Cincinnati, and they're out of the playoffs. This team was more of a favorite to make the – well, just as much of a favorite to make the playoffs as the Red Sox.
Yeah, Alan, you –
complete turmoil.
You couldn't be more right. You couldn't be more right. So the Cubs have underachieved badly since winning the World Series. I mean, really, 3 years in a row now. Murray, would that deter you from hiring Theo?
No. No,
Jimmy Stewart, would it deter you?
That's a legit red flag, though.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah, sure it is. But the question is, what are the alternatives? Who are you going to hire that's better? So I would still hire him. I would. And it feels like the thing with him and Madden went bad. And I think Jason McLeod, who was the scouting director there and did a lot of the drafting for Theo in Boston, I think has been reassigned.
Been promoted.
Well, he's been promoted, but it's really a reassignment. I don't think he's in charge of the draft anymore.
It's to keep him away from the Red Sox.
Because the Cubs have drafted poorly, right? The Cubs have drafted poorly. But anyway, that's a question of sort of the state of the Red Sox front office, the perception of the Red Sox, and whether or not they really are viewed by those in baseball as the Mets. As the Mets. Also, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, stumbled on a comment from Scott Boras. If you've never taken Ambien, just listen to a little Scott Boras. By the way, he'll put you right to sleep. But Boras on JD Martinez, we'll touch on that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know, and as far as what JD does with his decision making, and I know that when you go back and look at what the Boston Red Sox were before JD, and what Mookie did, or, you know, and I know my clients, Jackie Bradley or Xander Bogaerts, these players have been dramatically benefited by what JD Martinez does and what information he provides and the intensity that he brings to the players. So there's a leadership part of this. And as I said, you just have difficulty in the game finding people that, you know, are really one of the top five hitters in the game in your lineup. So I don't think teams would in any way view JD Martinez as a DH.
Scott Boras. Scott Boras, agent for JD Martinez. Sorry, Murray, I dozed off. It works every time with Boras. He drones on and on about how great his players are.
He's just got a real monotone way about him.
All right, Jimmy, why don't you tell everybody what that is?
That's a real live Michael Felger snore.
Oh, that's Felger snoring.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Oh,
I thought that was you on Chachi's couch.
Yeah. Well,
where's his mouse?
That's deep.
Okay.
I don't know. This is another Frogger snore. It might be the same one.
That's a Frogger snore? No, that one's a Frogger snore. Yeah, mine's a little, Frogger's is angry. Like, listen,
there's an itch to it.
Yeah, there's an angry, it's an angry snore. Mine's a little perkier. It's got a little more liveliness to it. But I tell you about Scott Boras talking about J.D. Martinez. Look, Boras is an Boras is an exceptional agent. Exceptional. Anytime I hear him talk about his clients, I want to blow my brains out. He is every guy that Boras talks about is a quote-unquote premium player. Now, in the case of J.D. Martinez, he is one of the best hitters in the game. He is. I was wrong about J.D. Martinez. I couldn't have been more wrong. If I'm the Red Sox, I give him an extra year and bring him back. But the first thing they have to do is find a GM to make that decision. That is really the place to start. And again, this story by Buster Olney over the weekend. I want to read you a couple of other excerpts in this Olney column titled, Why Nobody Might Want to Be Boston's GM. Why Nobody Might Want to Be Boston's GM. Really amazing. Ray and Revere on the GM search. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, Tony, I have a theory I've never seen written about why Lucchino and Sherrington lost their jobs. And can I offer it up?
You just got to be quick, Ray. Go.
Yeah, so 2015, July 1st, the Red Sox announced their international signings. July 2nd, Major League Baseball announces an investigation. 30 days later, Lucchino and Sherrington were off. And I literally think that John Henry needed a body. And I don't think he put a lot of thought into what he was bringing in. But he needed to scramble and cover his tracks, because if he left that job vacant, he'd have to answer for why Lucchino got popped. And I really think that question needs to be answered by anybody who comes in, because you can't explain the last two firings if you can't figure out why they got popped. And that's my theory. And I wonder what your thoughts are. Thank you.
Okay, so look, Ray, the Red Sox had some violations in the international marketplace, most notably when they signed those kids out of Venezuela. They hid the signing bonuses. And they broke the rules and they got penalties. Now, if you're telling me that John Henry lashed out at his own executives for it and ultimately fired him, that could be the case. I wouldn't rule that out. The bottom line, though, is that I don't think that part had to do with Sherrington. Maybe it did. I think Sherrington's problem was that he couldn't pull the trigger on a deal when he needed to. Dombrowski's problem is the opposite. Sherrington was too long term. Dombrowski was too short term. Can we just find somebody in the middle that can do the job for more than, 3 years? It's a GM position we're talking about. It's not the manager. You hire a manager every 3 years, fine. It happens all the time. But a GM? I mean, Theo was here 8 years. Duquette was here, about 8 years? Lou Gorman before that was here for a longer period of time. Before that, Dick O'Connell. Like, at a minimum, you're talking 8 to 10 to 15 years. These guys are getting rotated in and out now every three. Dan's in a car. Go ahead, Dan.
Tony, I'm curious what you think about some of the other guys, other than Mookie, other than JD, that's coming due. I know Proc Holt is going to be a free agent this year, but the guy that made me think of it was this weekend, Jerry Remy was praising about Jackie Bradley Jr., how undervalued he's been, and thinks he should be long-term with the Sox. So I'm curious, would you sign people like this?
Okay,
make an attempt.
So Dan, I'll let you go, only because I want to get to other people, too. And we do have an open line or two if you want to hop in. But with regard to Brock Holt, at the end of the day, I really don't care. Brock Holt is a $3.5 million utility man. If you tell me you want him to be the everyday second baseman, I suppose you could give it a shot. I have my doubts about whether he can handle the workload over 162 games. But if you want to play him for 110 and have someone else play 50 at second base, whatever. Okay, you need a first baseman, a second baseman, a backup catcher. You're going to need one or two starting pitchers and one or two relievers. And you have no money to spend, and you have no prospects to deal. So if Brock Holt is cheap, sure, I'm in. I don't remember the other thing he said. He asked me about someone else in the system, and I can't remember who the hell it was.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, anyway. So I'm not overly concerned about Brock Holt. Just quickly, back to this Buster Olney column, because again, there were a couple. When I read the anonymous quote from an official that if Sam Kennedy walked away, the whole thing would be a complete mess and that the Red Sox would be the Mets without Sam. I mean, that feels to me like it's coming from Theo and Jed Hoyer's camp. Whether it was Theo directly, Jed Hoyer directly, or whether it was somebody who works with them or whatever, I don't know. Or both of them. I'm just telling you, that one reeks of like a grudge. So I don't know, to me, how you point the finger at anybody other than one of those two guys, let alone the fact that they seem to understand Sam's value of the organization, which anyone around the Red Sox, you'd have to be around the Red Sox to know that. Okay, I think you'd have to be around the Red Sox to know. Then there was this line by Buster, which kind of bugged the crap out of me. The Red Sox are surrounded by functionality in the AL East. The rival New York Yankees, a team once renowned as the most chaotic under George Steinbrenner's stewardship, are run with almost complete symbiosis from owner Hal Steinbrenner through GM Brian Cashman to Aaron Boone and his staff. The Blue Jays are poised for progress around a strong core of young position players, I think, which we all agree on. And then this line. Even the Orioles have the ground floor of a long-term plan. The Orioles?
That's not true at all.
The Orioles.
They're like the 1B to the Mets when it comes to laughingstocks.
So now we've compared the Red Sox to the Mets and the Orioles. So again, I read that, I say somebody's thinking got corrupted here by someone who's trying to make the Red Sox out to be this collection of stooges. And look, it's been an ugly year. Not as ugly as it could have been, given what's gone on, because it hasn't deteriorated into the kind of finger-pointing and name-calling and blaming that I expected would take place. That hasn't happened, and with the Red Sox, it usually does. But to compare them to the Mets and the Orioles in terms of organizational dysfunction, ooh, that's a cheap shot. That is a cheap shot. The Orioles have been one of the most dysfunctional organizations in baseball now for going on, what, 25 years since Pat Gillick left? Clown show, Baltimore. Clown show. Paul's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul. All right, Paul, you're clearly listening to the show. I would say turn it down. We'll get to you when we come back. Jim Murray's got your headlines. I also want to touch on Mookie Betts deal. If we have a chance to get to that tonight, because I want to continue with your phone calls, what could the Red Sox reasonably expect if they trade Mookie Betts? We'll touch on that, too.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Goldie swings and hits it fair inside the third base bag down the left field line. Edmund is going to score. Goldschmidt around second base and he'll hold there with a go-ahead double in the ninth. Oh, man.
Paul Goldschmidt, St. Louis Cardinals. There's a reason we play that highlight for you. Goldschmidt was traded from Arizona to St. Louis last year for three prospects. He had 1 year left on his contract. He was one of the best players in the game. And again, so this is the name that people are throwing around now as a comp for Mookie Betts, is that Paul Goldschmidt is the closest you're going to get. What kind of package did Goldschmidt get, and can the Red Sox do anything comparable for Mookie? And just to give you an idea, they got a pitcher, they got an offensive infielder, and a catcher who I think played for them this year. And I don't follow the Diamondbacks all that closely or like I used to. But the catcher this year, I think, hit 18 home runs for Arizona. So, and the pitcher was a former first-round pick. So they get some guys with potential. And again, you're looking at two or three prospects for Mookie. And I just think it's instructive to set your expectations accordingly. What really hurts the Red Sox here is the fact that there's only a year left. Now, Goldschmidt re-upped with the Cardinals. I think that everyone thought there was a good chance of that happening. And I want to say it was like $26 million a year, I think, for Goldschmidt. 5 years and 100 and what is that, $130 million that they tacked on to his existing year so that St. Louis committed to him effectively for 6 seasons. Mookie is younger than Goldschmidt, and if you trade him to the right team, he may show willingness to sign, and obviously it'd be a big market team. But there aren't many places you can trade a guy like Mookie and get big return unless they think they can sign him, which means you're talking about the big markets. Again, just worth something worth remembering as the Red Sox approach the offseason, which is now a week away. Paul is in Rhode Island. Paul, what do you got?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I just think that you're a little harsh on saying this sucks and this sucks. Mass, I love you like a brother.
Paul, which part specifically irritates you?
Okay. I think that players, the professional players, I think they hear your radio station, and I think that they feel how you say, oh, he sucks. Any professional sport.
So, Paul, you just think that we're too critical of players in general?
Oh, come on. I mean, you don't.
No, I'm asking. I'm asking. Yes, is that what you believe?
I'm asking you that they think you don't know. You don't even know if I'm a cleaner. I could be 2 feet away from them. You don't even know if I can hear you.
That's true. I don't know that, and I would tell you that. And listen, with all due respect, I understand those guys are trying. I get it, but it's a performance-based business, and ultimately, we don't do the show for the players. We do it for the fans. We do it for the people who care about the teams, because many of them are sitting in front of their TVs at night saying the same things that we just happen to express. So now, look, I admit I have a tendency to overstate hyperbole a little, maybe a lot. So they don't all suck. But relatively speaking, you know, I try to call them like I see them. This Red Sox team has a lot of good players. As a team, they grossly underachieved. You've never heard me say this year that they sucked. What I said is that they were the worst of all things. They were mediocre. That's what I said about the Red Sox this year. Dante in Linfield. Go ahead, Dante.
Hey, Maz, I think another thing of why somebody wouldn't want the job is you really need to be wary of positions that you would take where the manager has kind of been given a golden ticket by the owner, and his vision of the team will kind of always win out over yours. To be honest with you, I know your thoughts on this. I really don't think those trade Mookie Betts. I think it's the number one thing you need to do this summer, but this winter. But I really, really do not think that they're going to do it.
Okay, so look, Dante, you might be right. We had Alex Speer of the Globe on Friday, and Alex Speer said that his gut tells him that, or maybe that was Thursday, Murray, whatever it was. Was it Thursday or Friday, Jimmy? It doesn't matter. But whatever it was, Alex Speer says his gut tells him that JD's going to opt out and that the Red Sox will explore dealing Mookie Betts, but that ultimately they won't do it. So he might be right. I think they're going to pull the trigger. I think they need to do it as much for financial reasons as they do for baseball reasons. Eric is in Reading. Go ahead, Eric.
Man, Jimmy, we have got to stop having beer goggles for Theo. Let's remember, 2004, a lot of that was Dan Duquette. As you yourself reported, Theo did not want to trade for Josh Beckett, the ace of the staff on the 2007 title team. Without that trade, we don't win 2007. He doesn't have his second title. After Daniel Bard, there was a huge drought where they weren't really drafting and developing the best players. Theo could never really draft and develop power. And, I mean, 2011 draft saved him, but other than that, and also Theo could not judge a shortstop to save his life other than Marco Scudero, and he threw probably about $400 million on bad free agents. I started to lose faith in him at the end. I think we all should.
Okay, so Eric, hold on. First of all, in the bad contracts, any GM, and he hung up, so I was going to ask him a question, but on the any GM on a big market team is going to have bad contracts. Okay, Brian Cashman's got Giancarlo Stanton and Jacoby Ellsbury. So Billy Beane doesn't have many because Billy Beane doesn't have money. But any team with a big payroll is going to have bad contracts. They all sign them, every single one of them. I don't think there's a GM out there with a big market team that doesn't have a bad contract. Now, what I would tell you with regard to Theo is, you're right. The Cubs' failure in the last few years is on Theo. But if you don't get Theo, who do you want? Tell me who you want. So I want someone with some clout that has a long-term philosophy. That's what I want. Someone with some clout who has a long-term philosophy. And to get that, there just aren't that many guys like that out there. You want to tell me you'd rather have Brian Cashman over Theo? Fine. Good luck getting him from the Yankees. Quickly, Mike in New Hampshire on the GM search. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, I think there is an outstanding candidate in the National League not named Theo, and he's a New Hampshire resident, and I think he's done a lot with a little over the years with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and his name is Neil Huntington. I think he's outstanding, and I'd like to know what you know about him or what you think of him. Thank you.
So, Mike, I don't know Neil personally. I think there are a lot of people in baseball who agree with you, and if you were to look at how the Pirates have pumped out some players over the years, I think there's reason for intrigue there. And you bring a guy like that into a market where he has some money to spend, maybe you're onto something. So you want to tell me you want to find the next Theo, then fine. I'm in. What I want, though, is the Red Sox to commit to someone with some sort of long-term vision and then to implement it. And at the same time, understand that you got to try to win every year. Nobody said it was an easy job. That's what makes it hard. But when you have the money that the Red Sox do, you should be able to do both. You should be able to draft and develop, and you should be able to fill holes with free agency. There should never be a player out there that you can't get because you don't have the money or the prospects. And the Red Sox right now, there are a lot of players out there that they can't get because they don't have either.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.